Praise God. Let's turn to John chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 12 for a minute. John chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 12. Praise God. Last week, we started off with the same verse. We're going to touch on some of the things there again this morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Some are away, as you know, but it's good to have each one here. Good to see Ken and Barb here this morning. Young couple just celebrated their 60th anniversary. John chapter 1, and John is writing here, John the Apostle. And let's begin at verse 15, or 16, I think that's where we started last week as well. 16, he says, "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into the Word this morning. Father, once again, Lord, we pause to give you thanksgiving, Lord, for all your wonderful blessings upon us. Now, Father, as we look into the Word of God this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would enlighten our understanding. Father, we approach your Word reverently and humbly, realizing, Lord, that it is the Word of God. And help us, Lord, to see things in this today, Lord, to help us to understand what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And, Lord, the price that was paid for our redemption and the freedom that we have today because of that, Lord. So, Father, we just give you praise. We ask, Lord, that you just direct us today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We've talked about this off and on, especially as we're going through the Galatians series. The Bible says the law was given. The Bible says the law was given by the hands of a mediator. And the law was given to the children of Israel through Moses. So when God, back under the old covenant, and as you know, I'll go back here again and go through this once more. Adam was way back here at the beginning. 2,000 years later, Abraham came along. And God made a covenant with Abraham and said, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." 430 years after that, the Ten Commandments came in. So Abraham and even Adam, when it comes to that, never lived per se by the Ten Commandments as a rule, you know, set of rules. Now, I'm sure they kept them in their own way, but they never lived them, you know, as a set of rules that they had to live by. This was the law. The law came in, and but God made a promise to Abraham, and his seed, which is bypassed right over top of the law, his seed was going to come over there. Galatians tells us the seed was Christ, not the children of Israel, but the seed was Christ. Now, the children of Israel are his seed in the natural descent. Remember, God took Abraham. I get the right names right for a while. God took Abraham out, and he said, "Abraham," he said, "look at the sand of the seashore. He said, your seed is going to be like that," referring to his natural seed. And he said, "lift your eyes and look at the stars of heaven. Your spiritual seed will be like that. You won't be able to measure the number of people." And so God made this covenant with Abraham and his seed, the Bible says, and the seed was Christ. Now, so when God gave the law right here, the Bible says that never changed the promise that God made to Abraham. The law, he said, that came in 430 years later, did not do anything to annul the law, to change the law or anything like that, or change the promise, I should say, to change the promise. The law never changed the promise. The promise was made to Abraham and to his seed. The law was given until a seed came. See, the problem is a lot of people try to live by the law, and you still get people today that still won't eat certain kinds of food. They won't wear certain kinds of clothes. You know, I don't know if I should say this or not, because you might all take it the wrong way and go out and do it. But there's people today that get mad sometimes. You see somebody with a tattoo or something. They think, oh, that's a bad thing. You got to understand that was under the old covenant. And God says, don't mark your bodies and stuff like this. But he also told them not to trim their beards in the same verse. So if you got to balance out scripture with scripture. And all these laws that were given back here, people thought that they had to, this was God's, the way to come to God was through these laws. God said, no, these are just keep you on course until the seed came. They were just to help you to stay on course until the seed came. Now, let's look at this. The Bible says God gave the law through Moses. But when the time for the fullness of the gospel to come, grace came through Jesus. So when God gave the law, he gave it, you know, as a third person, he gave it to Moses to bring to the children of Israel. But when it was time to move in grace, God himself came down in his Son. So the law was given, but grace came. Grace and truth. And notice truth is on the side of grace. Okay? Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. And there's a number of verses that I got jotted down here this morning. I don't know how far we're going to get into it, but we'll take our time and as the Lord leads. If we don't finish it today, we'll get it next week. Hebrews chapter 12, and down in verse 18. He said, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burn with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest. Now, I'm reading from the New King James, so it may be a little different than the King James or whatever version you have there. And the sound of a trumpet, verse 19, and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Now, what he's referring to there is a day that when God gave the Ten Commandments, the law. Okay, let's go back to Exodus now, chapter 19, and we look at it back there. The same story that the writer to the Hebrews is just explaining. But back here in Hebrew, or in Exodus chapter 19, we look at when this thing actually happened. This was a day, as I told you last week, when the law was given. And the law... God called Moses up to the mountain. Well, let's read it here in Exodus chapter 19. Let's begin at verse 16. Now, I'll just give you a little update of what was happening in the first part of that. Israel had left Egypt, went across the Red Sea. Remember, the Red Sea opened up. They went across the Red Sea. They came into the wilderness, and they came to Mount Sinai. And as they came to Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb is another name for it, it's called the Mountain of God. As they came to Mount Sinai, God told them, he said to Moses, he said, get the children of Israel ready. He said, in 3 days' time, he said, I'm going to come down and visit them upon the mountain. He said, get them ready. He said, tell them to wash their clothes, get all cleaned up and everything. And he said, even the husband and wives weren't allowed to come together for relations or anything else. He said, God said, I'm going to come down. And he said, if there's anything that's not right in my sight, he said, it's going to be consumed. So he said, you make sure everybody's prepared to meet with God. And so Moses went up to the mountain. And let's begin here now, verse 16. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain. Now, try to picture this, what's going on here. This is God bringing the law, or, you know, giving the law to Moses. And when the children of Israel gathered around, they looked at Mount Horeb. The mount, you know, was a high mountain. And as he looked at the mountain, all they could see on top of that mountain was just like a... almost like a tornado. It was just smoke and things happening up there on the mountain. And the Bible's, well, let's read it. It says, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of a trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Now, you need to understand what's going on here, because God told Moses, he said, Moses, put a barrier around the bottom of the mountain, or a fence around the bottom of the mountain. And he said, don't let anyone come close to the mountain. He said, if anybody comes close, even if it's an animal, he said, kill it. Don't let it come into my presence. Now, some people say, well, you know, God was pretty cruel. See, we need to understand the holiness of God and the sinfulness of sin. And this is why the law was given. And it, you know, and sometimes this is what people don't understand sometimes. When they see Jesus coming down and well, he had a nickname. He's a friend of sinners and publicans and wine bibbers. You know, but back here under the old covenant, it seemed like God was so harsh against sin. There's a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. We've talked about it a number of times. But anyway, let's continue. And the Bible says all the people that were in the camp trembled, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. So here they came out, they stood at the foot of the mountain, they're looking up, and they saw all this thunder and lightning and, you know, noise and everything else going on up there, up on the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai, verse 19 or 18, was completely in smoke. The mountain was completely covered in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. You know, I can't explain it any better what Moses has done here. You know, the whole mountain was just trembling and shaking. It was almost like an earthquake, I guess. And the smoke and the loud noise and everything else. And the people stood down at the bottom of the mountain, and they were fearful of what was taking place upon the mountain. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through and gaze upon the Lord, and many of them will perish." Now, remember, God's holiness. Remember, the Bible says no man has seen God at any time, but his only begotten Son has revealed him. We just read that here in John chapter 1. Over in the epistles, John mentions the same thing. He says, no man has seen God at any time. But when we love one another, people see God through us. Now, so Moses came to the foot of the mountain, and God called him up. And the Bible says, God said to him, go down and warn the people. Now, Moses already had a fence put around there. But God was so protective that he didn't want his power to just consume the people. See, the more sin, we've said this before, the more sin that comes into God's presence, the more disintegration is going to be. Because, you can't stand in the presence of a holy God. This is why the high priest, remember every year when he would go into behind the veil, he would have to offer a sacrifice, first of all, the Bible says, for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. And once he had himself purified, and they had bells all around the robe, and as he was walking in, the people could hear the bells ringing, different things, and but as he came in behind the curtain, he was only allowed in there once a year to bring in a blood offering for the sins. And if he wasn't right before God, if he never sacrificed for himself first and covered his own sins and had that taken care of, he would have dropped down dead the minute he opened up that veil and went into God's presence. Now, so this is why God is telling him, not because God is hard to get along with, not because God is harsh, but he knew that his power was so consuming. Remember the Bible tells us in Hebrews how our God is a consuming fire? His power was so heavy that if anybody came in, any kind of sin whatsoever came into his presence, they would have been just disintegrated. And God said, you make sure you keep them back from the mountain. Now, with verse 21 again, and the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people lest they break through and gaze upon the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against him. Excuse me. But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come to the close to the mountain. You've warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. Moses said, we've already done that. He said, we've already got a fence put around about them. And God said to him, he said, away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron. Now, Aaron was Moses' brother. You know that. Aaron was the high priest of Israel. There were a number of priests under him, but he was the high priest. Okay, so God says, you tell Aaron to come up with you. But do not let the priest and the people break through to come near to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So this was God was very concerned that these people wouldn't be consumed. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Now, and God spoke to all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. Then down we get the Ten Commandments there. We're not going to read down through all those again now. Let's go down to verse 20. Let's go down to verse 18 in chapter 20. Okay, this is after he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. So all this was going on. While Moses up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, the mountain was just in a cloud of smoke and fire and shaking and quaking and noise and everything else. Excuse me. Verse 18, chapter 20. This is after God gave him the Ten Commandments. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightnings and the flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak to us, lest we die. They were so afraid of this taking place. They said, Moses, from now on, you speak to us, we'll listen, but tell God never do that again. It frightened them so much. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for the Lord your God has come to test you, that you may fear him. I'm going to take my glasses off so you can see what I'm reading. Then said Moses, then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that you may fear, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near to thick darkness where God was. God had covered himself with darkness. The Bible talks about God covered himself with darkness so that people could come close to him. Now, so this is what was taking place. This is what happened back here in Sinai. Okay, this was the first Pentecost. This is when the law was given. And if you read on, you'll find out that 3,000 people died when the law was given. I told you last week, when the new covenant came into effect on the day of Pentecost, when the church was founded, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved. Over here, I just touched on some of the things we touched on last week. The law says you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, and all kinds of rules and regulations. Over here, it's already been done. Jesus fulfilled the law for us. Over here, you got to work, constantly work for your salvation. Over here, Jesus said, come on to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So there's a difference. Over here is always achieving. You got to achieve something. You got to work at something. You're achieving. Over here, you're receiving. Okay, you just receive what Jesus did. You understand the difference? So there's a completely difference, a big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. I got a tickle in my throat, so I had a candy. I figured it would last for a while, but it's gone. You heard the fellow had a button in his pocket, stuck a button in his mouth. He used to always preach, and when the candy ran out, he stopped preaching. So this one particular Sunday, he reached in his pocket and put something in his mouth. It was a button, and he kept on going. So anyway, let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 12 again. Hebrews chapter 12. See, we are not under the law anymore. The Bible tells us, Romans 6:14, sin shall have no dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace. Okay? So there's a big difference. So the children of Israel, they still lived and believed that they had to live by this law back here. Remember Judaizers? We talked about in Galatians. Hebrews is the same situation. The reason the book of Hebrews was written, the Judaizers, same crowd that went to Galatians, they were now bugging all the Hebrews. Now the Hebrews are Jewish people. And they were always after the Jewish people to come back under the law. Come back to the way it used to be. I told you before, I don't mean this in a bad sense, I don't want to go back to what it used to be. You know, I honestly don't. I want to move on to what God's got in the future. God's got some good things in store. We started out in 2012, so 2012 is going to be a good year. And I still believe that today, and I'm still confessing it. 2012 is going to be a good year. You know, and it is a good year. You know, and so they were saying, well, you can be saved. You can trust Jesus as your Savior. We understand that he came as our Messiah, but you still got to keep the Ten Commandments. You still got to live by the rules that Moses gave us. You still got to be circumcised. You still got to worship on the Sabbath day. You still got to eat certain kinds of food and not eat certain other kinds of food. You still got to live by the Old Testament. There's a lot of people today, they're still afraid to do something, you know, in the freedom that Christ has given us, because it's against what I was brought up like. It's against what we always believed. It's against what, you know. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying everything you were brought up was wrong. But sometimes things that brought us into fear, brought fear upon us. Look what the law did. The people were so afraid of it. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Everybody started running to find out what was going on. Remember they all gathered together? Here on this, when the law was given, everybody was fearful. So we're not here at this mountain anymore. We're at Zion, the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 12. Somebody read, let me see, verse 22, 24. Somebody read that. Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, now, so notice in verse 18, he said, we've not come to the mountain that burned with fire. Okay, the mountain that burned with fire is Mount Sinai. Okay, the law. He said, we're not living there anymore, but we've come to Mount Zion. Okay, and then he went on to explain what Mount Zion was. The city of the heavenly Jerusalem. It's the church of the firstborn. Come to innumerable company of angels. of saints, of Jesus. You know, everything that we have, we're in the new covenant. We're not under the old covenant. Okay, so we're not, in our time frame that we're living, we're not living under the law any longer. You've not come to Mount Zion, but you are not come rather to the mountain of burning fire, but you've come to Mount Zion. Now, the Bible tells us, let's go back to Hebrew, or let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. The Bible says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, here in this passage, the disciples, as you know, Peter, James, and John, they're referred to as the inner circle, the disciples that were closer to Jesus in his ministry that he used. A lot of people believe that they were almost like we would say today, like cell groups or care groups, whatever. And Jesus had 3 different leaders within there that were over some others, that, you know, of the other disciples. But Peter, James, and John, they're called the inner circle. And Jesus called them up into the mountain. Now, I don't believe that anything is in God's word is there for no reason at all. I believe that everything is there for a purpose. The Bible tells us it is the glory of God to hide a matter, and it's the glory of the king to search it out. You know, God could have given us all, you know, the information about the universe in the scriptures if he wanted to. But God has given it to us all to search out. And, you know, when you look at different things, and people get afraid and nervous sometimes when we find a new discovery, you know, oh, it's going to discredit the Bible. It's never going to discredit the Bible. You know, they might think so for a few years, and all of a sudden they find that, oh, no, we were wrong. You know, the Bible's right after all. And so don't be afraid of, you know, education and science and stuff like that is going to discredit God or discredit the Bible. It could never do it. Okay? God's word stands forever. Now, anyway, God puts everything in the scriptures for a purpose. And notice what happens here in Matthew chapter 17. Jesus takes him up to the mountain. And you got Moses and Elijah appears up on top of the mountain. Now, if you go back, when Moses went up here to the mountain we just talked about, with the mountain to burn with fire, when Moses came down, he had to cover his face with a veil so that the people could come close to him. The people were so afraid, they saw this glory of God upon him. And so they covered his face with a napkin. It's almost like, you know, when you got the sun, the shining at the moon reflects back the light. Moses is almost like a glow-in-the-dark thing. He gathered the light, and now he's showing it out. But when Jesus went up on the mountain, over here in Transfiguration, Jesus went up, the Bible says, his clothes and everything start to shine. And his face was like the sun. You couldn't even look at it. The light was coming out of him. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, caught a glimpse of what Jesus was like before he came to the earth. So you remember back on Mount Sinai when he came down? No one could come close to God's presence. Here, when they saw Jesus being glorified, the disciples fell down. They were afraid. Same thing again. God's presence. When you see God in his fullness, it brings fear. A number of times you read through the scripture, when people would see an angel or see God, see some kind of a vision or something, they would be fearful. They said, we've seen God, we're going to die. Remember when Samson's mother saw an angel? And then she ran because the angel came and the husband wasn't there, and the angel said to her, go and get your husband. So the next time they came back, they brought back a sacrifice and different things. The angel came, and as they were talking to him, they told him what kind of child was going to be born, and you know what this child would do, Samson would do. And the Bible says they took an offering, they laid it upon a stone, and a fire came down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, and the angel just went into the flame and went out, and it frightened them so much, they said, we've seen God, we're going to die. You know, and that was the thing they were afraid of. Remember the disciples, when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they saw a ghost, they figured, and they said, we're going to die. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's me. You know, so this was their understanding and different things. Because God told them, if you break through and my glory breaks through, it will consume you. So they were afraid that they would die. Now, over here, when Jesus was transfigured, the light shone out of him. The Bible says even his garments glistened, Moses could cover the glory that was upon his face. The Bible says, if you go back, and there's so many scriptures there I can think about to tie together. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it talked about the glory of the old covenant. He said, if that was glorious, how much more glorious is the new covenant? How much more glorious is the covenant of grace, the covenant of righteousness? But anyway, we got Peter, James, and John going up to the mountain. Moses and Elijah appears. Now, Moses was the one that brought the law. Remember back here on Mount Sinai? Moses, you know, represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. The Bible tells us that the law and the prophets witnessed of Jesus, the new covenant. He said, you know, we're in the covenant of grace that was witnessed, he said, by the law and the prophets. Remember Jesus said one time, he said, the law and the prophets prophesied unto John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the last one in that lineage. After John the Baptist finished, that was the end of the law. Okay, in regards to being anybody working in it and ministries coming in it and different things. That was the end, John the Baptist was. When Jesus came in, he set up a new covenant. Remember, we talk about it when we take communion all the time. This is the New Testament or the New Covenant, my blood. So he set up a new covenant between him and God. Now, so here we need to understand something. I heard somebody say this a while ago and it stuck with me. As I said, nothing in God's word is there for, you know, just to fill in space. It's all there for a purpose. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into the mountain, he took them up, and it's interesting how he took Peter, James, and John when he raised Jairus' daughter. He took Peter, James, and John, you know, at different times when he do certain miracles or do certain things, he would take Peter, James, and John. Okay? Now, I believe that there's a purpose behind that and why the Bible is very specific in these three names. Remember, the law was given on stone. What does the name Peter mean? Stone or a rock, right? Peter, stone. James comes from the word Jacob. It means to replace something, to supplant. Remember Jacob tricked his brother Esau? It means supplanter. It means to supersede something. The word John means grace. So you got the stone is being replaced by grace. You understand that? The law, back here, represented by Moses, is being replaced by grace. Remember Moses? You see, the law is weak. It was powerful, but yet it is weak in bringing us salvation. It could never bring salvation. The Bible says the law was never given to bring us righteousness. The law was given just to show us what righteousness was. I told you before, the law was like a mirror. You can look in and say, man, this is what I got to be like. But the mirror can't do anything to change you. It's like a thermometer. You know, you put the thermometer in your mouth and you say, yeah, you got a bad temperature there. Things. But the thermometer can't bring that temperature down where it should be. Okay, you need something else to do that. Same thing with the mirror. The mirror can show you what you're like, but it can't change you. And that's all the law was. It was a mirror, it was a thermometer, whatever other term you want to put on it. It would just show you that you needed a Savior. It showed you that you could not keep these rules yourself. You needed somebody to keep the rules for you. And that's what Jesus came to do. Now, so the stone, remember, and here's something else. I was reading a week, and it just stuck with me. I never saw it before, but as I was reading, going to answer the story, and I believe I talked about the story last week, the woman taken in adultery. The Bible says, Jesus said, he that is with you, let him cast the first stone. And they all took up stones. The stone represents the law. They're going to throw the law at her. They're going to condemn her. But Jesus, see, the Bible says mercy triumphs over judgment. Grace triumphs over the law. Every time the law and grace comes together and there's a clash, grace always wins out. Even in the tabernacle, and I've told you this before, when they had the Ark of the Covenant, inside that there was the Ten Commandments. The law was put inside there, but it was covered with a mercy seat. You understand? Mercy is always rides above the law. Now, so they took up stones. They were going to throw the law at her, but Jesus came in, and Jesus never condemned the law. He never abolished the law. Jesus fulfilled it. He said, okay, no problem. He said, but he that is without sin cast the first stone. See, he upheld the law, but he showed them what really the law was about. Now, you understand, Jesus was the only one there that could throw the stone. He was the only one that was righteous. He was the only one that was pure without sin. But after all these people dropped the rocks and left and went home, Jesus said to the woman, he said, where are all those people that accuse you? He said, is there anyone? She said, none, Lord. Now, here's grace. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, I'm going to finish this up. But you know, a lot of times, and I've been just as guilty as this as anyone, a lot of times all we've done over the years and all churches have done over the years is condemned people. Told them how bad they were. Told them, oh, you're a sinner, you're this, you're that, you know, and all these different things. Now, I'm not saying that they weren't. Jesus never condoned what she did, but he never condemned her for it. You notice something? The only people Jesus ever condemned in Scripture were religious people. You read through it. Jesus, the only people he ever condemned were religious people, legalists. People that, remember Jesus talked about, he said, you know, they'll bring all these laws in and, you know, they themselves can't even keep the laws. They say long prayers so that people will see them and hear them and think, oh man, what a wonderful person they are. You know, and Jesus said, was the scripture there, where he make you twice, was it the child of hell or something like that? I forget the exact, I should have looked on up. If I thought of it, I would have. But anyway, you know, like, they bring all these rules and say, you can't come before God because you got this in your life. You can't come because, you know, and you got all these different problems. Listen, if that's the case, none of us could ever come to God. David said, Lord, he said, if you would, you know, look at our iniquities, who could stand? None of us could. None of us could. So Hebrews says, we've not come to Mount Sinai, the mountain that's burning with fire and fear and all the trembling and everything else. We're not coming to God in that way and afraid of God and afraid. You know, if you, how can I give an illustration of this? If you owe someone something, maybe you owe them some money, and you don't have the money to pay them. Every time you see them in a shopping mall somewhere, you're scooting in a back door somewhere. You're going down a different aisle because you just don't want to face that person because you owe them something. You understand what I mean? You feel so religious. But you understand what I mean? Like, you know, we when you owe somebody something, you just can't. You know, unless you got it to give to them, you know, you can go and see them, no problem. But if you don't have something to pay up, you just feel bad every time you see them. You say, man, I got to get that looked after. You know, and you go on, and all of a sudden you're driving on the road one day, and they pass you in a car, and you say, oh, hope they never saw me. You know, and you know, you got that tension there all the time because there's something owing. And we've done the very same thing. You know, we've told people so much, listen, God is angry at you, God is mad at you, God don't want to hear or talk of you, you know, and we just turn them so far away from God because of their sin. That they're afraid to even come into God's presence. This is why a lot of people don't want to come to church anymore. Because every time you come to church, what they've done, see, there's too many people, and I shouldn't say this, but there's too many people preaching from Sinai instead of from Mount Zion. You understand what I mean? There's too many people laying down too many rules, too many laws, make it too hard for people to serve God instead of coming over here and says, listen, though your sins be as scarlet, they be as white as, God says, come, let us reason together. You understand? And I've grown up, I'm sure you have, I know you have, a lot of you anyway, grew up, all you heard every Sunday was fear and trembling. Get to the altar, cry your heart out, and make sure you're right for another week. Next Sunday we'll hip you again. You know, now don't miss out. There's nothing wrong with coming and weeping before the Lord. We need that. But let's not do it out of fear, because we're afraid of God, and we're afraid that God is going to wipe us out or take our children from us or do something to hurt us. And that's not the God that we're serving. You see, you've not come to Mount Sinai. You've come to Mount Zion. You understand that? We're not living by the law anymore. Notice what he said? He says, sin. Remember we talked about it here a while ago? Sin is a strength, or the law rather, is a strength of sin. And how many times you hear people get saved, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, and I try to qualify this if I can. How many times you hear people, when they get saved, you give them a list of do's and don'ts. You got to obey the Ten Commandments. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that you should go out and break the Ten Commandments. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you see, trying to keep them by a set of rules and say, well, you know, I can't do this, I can't. Paul said, the minute you start saying you can't, all of a sudden, everything inside you wants to. Right? But when you get over here and get in Christ, in Adam and in Christ, in Adam, all die. But in Christ, when you get in here and you start to just look upon Jesus and just to thank him for all of his wonderful works and thank him for Calvary, thank him for what the cross means. This is why Paul said, he said, I have glory in nothing, he said, except the cross of Christ. When Paul was coming to Corinthians, I mean, Corinthians was a hard, hard church. Okay, I've seen some hard churches over the years, and I'm sure you have too. But Corinthians was a very hard church. In Corinthians, in Corinth, the city of Corinth, there was a church there that Paul founded. Paul was the pastor. And now Paul had gone and, you know, was writing letters back to them. And this is the letters we have, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And Paul was writing back to them, and Paul said, it's been reported among you. And then he started listing some different things. They had one fellow there that was living in incest with his stepmother in the church. You had them coming to the Lord's Supper, and instead of having Lord's Supper with a meaning and stuff, they would come and they'd have a big drinking party, and people were getting drunk. I mean, this is in the church. I mean, if this was a church in Napanee, everybody would just close the doors and get away from it as fast as they could. You know? And these people were getting drunk. Not only that, they were suing each other. You bought a piece of land off me, never paid me up, and I'm going to take you to court. And this is brothers and sisters in the church. And you know what Paul said to them? When Paul wrote to them, he called them saints of God. You know? And Paul said, when I come to you, he said, I want to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. See, what we would do is say, man, I got to send somebody down there. They got to straighten out that mess. I got to go in that person there. You know, I got to, you know, draw these people in before the board. We got to tell that person off. We got to do this here. We got to do this here. Paul says, I don't want to hear nothing to talk of that. He said, all I want to do is just uplift Jesus. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. You know what I mean? A lot of times we mess up so many things by just picking at it ourselves. You get a sore sometimes. You keep picking at it and picking at it. It'll never heal. Just glorify Jesus and let him minister. This is what Paul said. He said, I want nothing. He said, I would glory in nothing. He said, you fellows are glorying in your circumcision. You're glory. He told the Galatians, you're glorying in all these different things. He said, I've decided. He said, I'm going to glory in nothing, only in what Jesus did. In other words, I'm not going to boast about anything that I've done. Paul said, everything that I have going for me, he said, is dung. Remember that? He said, you know, he's a Jew and he's Hebrew after Hebrews, a Pharisee after Pharisees, and all these different things. He said, everything I count it gain, he said, is lost. For the excellency of Christ. Paul said, if I'm going to glory, I'll glory in what Jesus did for me. So when you're here this morning or you're facing something in your life, the devil, you see, the devil will come in. The minute you make a mistake, I guarantee you, I mean, we all make mistakes. The minute you say something or do something wrong or think something wrong, the devil's going to come in and accuse you and say, you're supposed to be a Christian. You know? If your father and mother knew that, or if the pastor knew that, or if this person knew that, or the church knew that, you know. Paul said, I don't want to hear none of that. He said, all I'm coming for, he says, glorify Jesus. And the church would be a whole lot better off if we get our eyes off each other and get our eyes upon Jesus. You understand it? We're not under this mountain anymore. We've not come to Mount Sinai. We've come to Mount Zion. We're not under law. He said, when you're living under law, sin will have dominion over you. When you're trying to keep the Ten Commandments, it's not the Ten Commandments themselves that's doing it, but when you're trying to do it in your own strength, you're working at it and straining at it, and eventually you just wear out. And we've seen people, time after time after time, they try to serve God, and they make up their mind and say, listen, I'm going to serve God more, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to read the Bible more. Every New Year's, I'm going to read the Bible through this year, I'm going to do this every year, you know, every day. And 2 weeks into it, and then we get discouraged and say, oh, I just can't take it. I just can't do it. Because we're trying in our own strength. He said, as long as you're under the law, sin will dominate you. But you get under grace, and you will dominate sin. You understand that? He said, we're not under law, we're under grace. Sin will no longer have dominion over you, implying that if you stay under law, it will have dominion over you. He said, because you're not under law, you're under grace. We're not come to Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, the one that's burning with fire and trembling and all these. We're not coming to God afraid of him. The Bible says now we can come boldly before the throne of grace. You understand? There's a total difference between the two covenants. Praise God. Let's stand together as we sing this morning. But I want to encourage you as we stand. If you're here this morning, and I know we all have at times, we've tried to live under this part of the old covenant. We tried to live under the old covenant. We get saved under the new covenant. We realize that Jesus died for us, but we're just as bad as Judaizers. Say, yes, you're saved by grace, but you've got to keep all these rules now. And the minute you start laying rules on people, you'll bring them right back under the law again, bring them back under works. Paul said, are you so foolish? He said, having begun in the Spirit, do you think that you can be perfected by living under the law? You can't do it. You can't do it. He said, you're saved by faith, you live by faith. That's why the Bible talks about from faith to faith. This is why John talked about there in John chapter 1, verse 17. He said, the law was given by Moses, but when God was giving grace, God himself came down and brought grace to us. The law was given by Moses. Grace came through Jesus Christ. Now, back here, when you put people under rules and you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't, you know. And we had all kinds when we were growing up. We used to be in a youth group and they had I forget what they called it, but it was like a little charter that we had to obey as young people. There was nothing wrong with these things. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, regards to what they stood for. But the problem is when you tried to do it in your own strength, you just couldn't do it. You know? But if you come over here and just focus, this is what the Bible says, and I've talked about this before, he said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But what we've told people, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't walk in this, don't go there, don't be there, you know, don't eat this, don't do something else, then you'll walk in the Spirit. That's opposite to what the Scripture says. He said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill those. You major on this, that'll just eventually drop off. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The things of earth will grow strangely dim. But what we've done, we've majored on the things of the earth, and we've you know, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the things will be added to you. You'll keep the law. I told you before, I think it was D.L. Moody, I think it was one of them anyway, he said, since I got saved, because he was struggling trying to keep the law, I don't know, it was Moody who it was now, he was struggling trying to keep the law, and he could not do it. And he finally came to the realization that he needed a Savior, he needed somebody that was going to pay this price for him. That's what salvation is. Jesus paid the price. You know. And he said, now that I got saved, he said, I keep the law more by accident than I did on purpose when I was back there. You understand what he meant by that? Once you're saved and you get your eyes upon Jesus, everything else just flows together. As long as you keep your eyes upon him, everything else will just flow together. But if you try to serve God by keeping all these rules, you would just burn yourself out constantly. We've seen too many people do it. Praise God. But if you're here this morning and you say, you know, I've lived under there long enough, let this be a day. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody or anything like that. We're all serving the Lord here this morning, so I'm not going to ask you to come up front or anything else. But listen, if you're here this morning and you say, you know, in my own life, I've lived right here. I've been trying to serve God by this, and this is why I burn out all the time. This is why I lose interest all the time, because I just can't seem to keep up to it. Just get over there on the grace side. You've not come to Mount Zion, Mount Sinai. You've come to Mount Zion. You've not come to the mountain that's burning with fire. You've come to the mountain where tongues of fire came down and people start running in and say, what's going on? 3,000 got saved. Totally different situation. Over there, 3,000 died that day. Over here, 3,000 got saved. There's a total difference between the two covenants. Praise God. So if you're here, as we sing this, just worship the Lord this morning. And say, Lord, I want to come over here, and I'm going to keep my eyes upon you. And I'm going to keep my concentration upon you and realize that my salvation is in Christ, not in my own works, but is in what Jesus did for me.